Sunday morning, January 9th, 2022. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. This is Personal Intercessors Part 3, The Supply of the Spirit. First scripture I want to look at is Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole family, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All right, since this is on the subject of intercession, I want to look over to Romans chapter 26. We know to be led by the Spirit, we're going to need all the gifts working in the church and in their proper order, divine order. I believe that's why the church, when it came to this time, how the devil got so far, is because the church, the gates of hell prevailed against the church because the church was out of divine order. All right, as intercessors, verse 26 of chapter 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, I like to say himself, he's a person, not an it, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Let me see what I've... Okay. And to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, intercession connects us to God and what God is doing through the help of the Holy Spirit. He helps us pray in wisdom for strategic level warfare. This is the supply of the Spirit. We cannot do it without him. There's so many, even in our day, that's getting killed in the name of righteousness, doing the right thing. And I hope that they are. But how many are killed because they just, They want to do something, they just do something, and in foolishness, they step out there and in the enemy's territory, and they get taken out. But if we are drawing on the Holy Spirit and praying things through in the Spirit and listening to the Spirit say, go here, go there, do this, do that, I don't think you're going to see those things as much. And that's my goal here today. Because we can't do this plan of God without the Holy Spirit's help. It is His plan. He's working in us, praying through us the perfect will of God so we can execute that. We're the boots on the ground. But we have to get the plan from Him. We can't just go do what we think we ought to do. All right, Philippians 1, 12. We're going to see this in the life of Paul here. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. See, he's in jail. It's in jail. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that is nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether in it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul was having a struggle. He wanted to go on. But by the supply of the Spirit, he sees he's to remain. You ever wished I could just go on? Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your joy, rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflicts which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So Paul was always led of the Spirit. He let the Spirit supply the information that he needed to move forward with the plan of God. He didn't just do things. It's very dangerous to just do things. It'll get you out of the will of God. All right, I'm reading this. It sounds like Paul might have been thinking that I'm at my end here. I need to go. But the supply of the Spirit, those intercessors, praying through, helped him to see what he needed to do. Remember when you saw how James, the brother of the Lord, was killed by Herod with a sword? Remember that? Peter, he took Peter also. We're going to read that. This is Acts chapter 12. Herod killed James. But let's look at what happened to Peter. Now about that time, verse 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. See, this was Herod, wasn't the son of Herod. I guess Herod during the time of Jesus, when Jesus was born, wicked, had all the babies killed, 2 years and under. This was his son. And he killed James, the brother John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from their hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. Think about that. Whenever you get in line and you start doing things the spirit way, we're going to see angels. They saw angels all the time. It was a common occurrence among them. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren, and departed and went into another place. God did this. This was supernatural. All right. But Peter, okay, let me finish here. Now, since it was day, there were no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod sought for him and found him out, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made blast of the king's chamberlain, their friend desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of God, of a God, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not glory to God. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So what'd they do? In chapter 13, they're praying, they're interceding. They're sent out right here. Now, there was in the church there at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lysias, a Cyrenian man, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They're fasting and praying. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Cilicia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. This started their missionary journey. And there were places that Paul would want to go into. Macedonia was one of them. The Spirit said, No, don't go there. And then he has a dream. The man says, Come over and help us. Where is it? I forget where he said. Macedonia. Come over and help us. See how the Holy Spirit, the saints praying, sending them out on missions. And when a leader got in the way, an angel took him out. We must have the supply of the Spirit. Just doing stuff because you think it's best is a disaster. These are the ones, just like Denny's word, you operated in my name, but you were not operating in it. It's not what I told you to do. I made good on my name, but you didn't ask me. You didn't do what I told you to do. Think about that. These are going to be those, he said, Well, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Yeah, but that wasn't what I told you to do. We have to be supplied, just like a military has to be supplied with the armor, with everything they need to go into the land they're going into to do battle. All right, we must have the supply of the Spirit. Just doing stuff is a disaster. The supply of the Spirit is how Paul was able to go through what he went through and not give up and complete the task before him. All right, now turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. A lot to digest here this morning, but we need it. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. Yeah. That's the day we live in. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. It's not because Paul was a tough guy. He depended on the supply of the Spirit in everything he did. He knew that he was nothing in himself. He depended on those people praying for him in the churches. They all did. They couldn't go forth and do what they needed to do without it. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Strong's right here. The supply means to make replete, to crab up a hollow, to furnish, satisfy, execute, finish, verify, and complete. So the Holy Spirit has everything that it's going to take to impart to you to do what you need to do when you're following him. Not when you go off on your own things. Now you can understand why scores of ministries have come in and out of here, set up churches, and they've all shipwrecked and hightailed it back to where they came from, thinking, well, I must have missed God. No, they missed the connection, the supply. This is about a spirit supply. I warn you, stop just doing stuff. You know how many messes you could have had in your life because you operated this way? Pray in the Spirit, and when the Spirit speaks, then follow his instructions. It's pretty simple. It's really. They that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. See, God will supply. He might not do it in one setting, but he will do it. The Christian walk is not a competition. My church is bigger than your church. Who cares? Is it supplied? I don't mean from Sam's. I mean, is it got the supply, or does it have the supply of the Spirit? The strong's there, your need. That means employment. Your real job. The strong's riches here is the same, pretty well. It says riches means wealth, fullness, money, possessions, abundance. That's what supply is. Now you can understand why there's so much need in the body of Christ, seeking natural means to supply instead of the supply of the Spirit. You are complete in him. This is Colossians 2:10. Complete means the same thing as supply. To make replete, to cram, to level up a hollow, to furnish. Complete and supply, same thing. When you learn to pray in the Spirit and get him involved, look out. He may give you an idea that makes you $1 million overnight. Beating the bushes, sending out resumes, pounding the pavement, wringing your hands, worrying and toiling and spinning. Time to seek the real supply. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the Amplified says, and then all these things shall be added unto you. God is not asking you to do anything on your own. He is asking you to seek him and let him give you instructions. That's like an army going to battle and the general has not given them the battle plan. All right, John 14. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I remember the story Brother Hagin tells about the man that was in the stock market, and the Lord, you know, people would suggest to him stocks, and he'd go in his closet. He said he'd pray. And the Spirit would say, do that. That's a good deal. Or the Spirit would say, don't do that. He never lost any money in the stock market. Full supply inside to help you with whatever you need help with, day or night, for the entirety of your life. Looking at the bigger picture, the supply of the Spirit is to help the body work as a team to do the work that God has laid before us. Now I want to read you, this is C. Peter Wagner, Prayer Shield. It's the intercession in spiritual warfare. It's quite a story. Short, but quite a story. Intercession is spiritual warfare is the title of it. Get a drink. Jane Pratt of Dallas has been one of our personal intercessors for many years. At one time, she was linked to the Eastern European Seminary and had been called as a personal intercessor for John Meisel, the president of the seminary's missionary organization. In the days shortly after the Iron Curtain had come down, John was making another of his frequent trips to the Eastern Bloc. Among the highlights of his ministry were representing a lecture on Is Jesus God at Moscow State University and later preaching the gospel to a crowd of more than 20,000 in Bucharest. While John was in Europe, Jane was in Dallas doing spiritual warfare on his behalf. The lecture had a profound impact on many who heard it. A great number of souls were saved in Bucharest. You can imagine that the forces of darkness were greatly upset, not only by John's ministry, but also by the divine power that flowed through Jane's intercession. What happened then shows clearly how intercession for Christian leaders is, in essence, spiritual warfare. One of the nights when John was in Europe, Jane was awakened at 2 a.m. by the tangible presence of an incredible force of darkness there in her bedroom. She says, I battled in prayer and still it was more than I could handle. It drained my whole energy and left and life support system. I couldn't move. I was totally paralyzed. As Jane communed with the Holy Spirit, she was assured that John himself was in no particular danger at that time. She sensed that this powerful force of darkness had been sent to destroy John, but it had attacked me because I was standing in the gap. As the battle was reaching its peak, Jane desperately cried out for reinforcements, both intercessors and angels. God heard her prayer and sent both. In the twinkling of an eye, Jane sensed a powerful angel come into the room and usher out the spirit of darkness. The battle was over, but Jane felt limp and drained. Then both fever and laryngitis set in. But still she rejoiced the victory had been the Lord's. The next morning, Jane discovered that the answer machine in her office had recorded a message from Cindy Jacobs. Cindy Jacobs she's getting up there in age now, but she's a prophet, well known in the body of Christ. Cindy is another of Doris's and my 19 personal prayer partners. Jane returned the call and routinely asked Cynthia how she felt. Cindy's response was unforgettable. I'm fine, Jane, she replied, but the question is, how are you? What was that incredible force of darkness in your room at 2 o'clock this morning? That was one of the most powerful principalities I have encountered. I was doing battle with you in intercession until its power was finally broken. Both Jane and Cindy are veteran spiritual warriors. Although the intensity of this battle was unusual, incidents similar to this are not. As intercessors, they expect frequent bouts with the spirits of wickedness. They're out to destroy the work of God. I agree with Edwin Stubb, who says, intercessory prayer is warfare, and the principal way in which the warfare is carried on, the warfare has to be won first in prayer and then worked out in practice. So you see how the whole body of Christ is a team. Which it was sad, I was reading, he said, usually in most things in the world, it's the 80-20 rule. And I think it is with tithing. 20% of every in the body of Christ, 20% tithe and carries the other 80%. But he was saying in industry and things, you have, you know, usually that 20% that's that solid backbone. But he said when it comes to intercessory prayer, you maybe have 5%. Others just never occur to them. They don't get it. They never, maybe they're not supposed to. I don't know. But I thought, gosh, how sad. But anyway, I just want you to know what your intercessory prayer is doing. Sometimes I wish the Lord would show us, but I know we're making a difference. So let's just keep on doing what we're doing.